Baylor, I have a question for you. Mm-hmm. By the way, this is your girl, Jay. Shout out to the J-Spot Network. My question for you is, I know you've talked about Luka, you talked about championship chances and probabilities and all that, but I would just like to know, for myself, for the people out there, with the success that the Lakers have had, with the transition of having Luka on the team now, and that seeming to be a successful move, does the probability of the Lakers making a deep playoff run and possibly making a run for the chip, does the probability go up for your Los Angeles Lakers? Let me know. How do you feel about Luka after it's been a few games? It's been a minute now. How do you feel about Luka being on the team? How do you feel about how the team itself is forming, having this new player with them? How do you feel this going? And what do you think their chances are of really, really getting that chip?
Well, seeing what I've seen currently tonight, Dallas played the Kings, and they'll be, you know, missing some time with Kyrie with a sprained knee. And AD is still out for maybe a couple more weeks or something like that. Of course, we got two major injuries on our team with Reeves and Rui. But with the addition of Luka, Luka has played 8 games so far. His 9th game will be tomorrow, which will be Tuesday. I forgot who we play. We play Phoenix or somebody like that. No, I think we play New Orleans, if I'm not mistaken. Anyhow, it just comes down to how healthy the overall squad is. Now, do I think in the playoffs, I don't think seeding matters in this situation. Seeding hasn't mattered to me within a couple of seasons. OKC has been putting together phenomenal basketball the past couple of years. They're the number one team in the league. They're up 10 games in the West. Cleveland has had put together a couple of seasons as well where they were solid. But the thing about those teams is they are not postseason tested. You know what I mean? And that's what I think it comes down to. It has to be the health and it has to be experience. With that being said, we have the perfect caliber of players to get us to back where we need. And that is to tie up the series with the 18th championship, right? Luka has been phenomenal thus far. I think at this point, I speak for every Laker fan where we just want to see him in the postseason right now. If we could fast forward, that'd be perfectly fine. Now, we're not in a rush because, again, like I said, like how I mentioned with Dallas and Kyrie and AD, they got the same hopes as to, you know, by the time we get to that last week of the regular season, just hoping that, you know, our players are well rested. I remember back in the day, people would make a fuss. Not too much myself because I didn't really care. And then as an adult, I can totally understand it in this era of basketball that Greg Popovich used to just rest his starters. And a lot of people would be upset. There were so many different reasons. One of the main reasons because of load management taking over the NBA when it was a major thing between Bron and Kawhi as the poster childs for it and Paul George and Ben Simmons. A lot of people pay, you know, especially with the Lakers, you have Laker fans all over the world. So when they come from a different state, point being, Britt was recently out here, but the time before back in December where we went to the Portland game and Bron didn't play, we got to saw, we saw Bronny play towards the end of the fourth, but we didn't get to see Bron play. She didn't get to see Bron play, and that was, you know, that kind of sucks. But when we talk about a playoffs, a playoff push, I think our chances are very great. I'm not sure if we have found the complete answer for Denver. And OKC is just one of those. See, here's the thing about OKC. As long as we can, and I think it's possible, because again, we have to see this in the playoffs. The playoffs is a whole totally different monster. I'm not worried about the regular season as much. That I'm not invested in the regular season as much as I used to. The postseason is where I'm at. I'm kind of like that between basketball and baseball. And I'm not the biggest baseball fan, but when it comes to the postseason, I lock in, especially when it comes to my Dodgers. Every pitch, every hit matters. And pitching, that's the number one thing in baseball. You got to have pitching. And in the postseason, you have slim to none when it comes to chances and opportunities. Like, you got to make the tension in MLB postseason is crazy. You know, basketball, football, every play matters. Everything is tightened up. Everything is precise. Everything, nerves is running. It's time to do what you came to do. It's time to separate the regular season highlights to the postseason madness. And that is what LeBron has, what Luka has. And Luka needs this. You know, Luka is a year removed from the finals. So he has that experience. But he never won. He hasn't won. And he's still young. Last week, he just turned 26. So he's a young pup. And that, so to answer your original question, I'm happy. I'm happy. We always find out how to get the cute girl. It's just a matter of how we get her. That's what I've been telling people. This is the first time this has ever happened. In a league where an all-star of this caliber, superstar of this caliber, has traded mid-season, you know? So, yeah, I'm ecstatic, excited, cool. I was telling the people who was down the trade to begin with, chill. It's going to work out. And more, what I'm mostly impressed by is what I stood by from the beginning, before he even got hired, and that's JJ. Now, again, I didn't have any information to go off of. I didn't have any analytical information or stats to go off of why I wanted JJ and why I thought JJ would be the perfect fit for the Lakers. All I said was, I'm comparing him to, and not, he doesn't have the resume yet, but I was comparing him to Pat Riley. And the comparison is where they hired a young guy with minimal experience, but they gave him a shot. And it just so happened that Pat Riley ended up in a situation much more different than JJ. JJ was sought after. There was other people. He wasn't I don't even think he was the first option. You know, but he was one of the top options, and I had no problem with it. I had no problem with it at all. I just let this play. The thing is, whether or not I actually like the coaching hire, I still have to give it a chance once the ink is dry. You know, there were some great qualities in Darvin Ham. It's just that he has some bad qualities that overshadowed them, and he never corrected them, you know? His substitutions, his roster mix-up, his whole philosophy was off. And the bench and the main guy never respected him. And they felt that energy. Broken locker room. JJ got them playing defense. When the main critique of Luka, besides his weight, was not playing defense. And again, he's not the greatest defender. And yet I still ask. There's not too many of them. You know, there's not too many. You're not going to find too many cats that's locking up like that. It's not that. At some point, you got to realize that a lot of this shit is team defense and effort. And that is mainly comes out in the postseason. And you'll have certain key games where it happens. momentum swings and shit like that. But for the most part, dog, I'm not worried about that defensive shit like people are saying. I mean, the lot of every trade, Jay Bizzle, every trade, every offseason pickup that the Lakers have gotten, all criticized to where it won't work this way, it won't work that way. And remember when we traded for AD, the New Orleans Pelicans got the best of the trade, quote unquote, best of the trade. We end up winning the chip. Look at them now, right? Same thing with Lucan right now. The first thing was, how would they be able to play together? And it's just happening. JJ has created, it's not even an offense. It's not like he done went to the chalkboard in this dark room and said, let me draw up the perfect offensive schemes. No, I think we got to give a lot of credit to Bron, and we got to give a lot of credit to JJ, because Bron has given up the ball a little bit more. That's one. Two, he told Luka his first game, go out there. He said, don't try to fit in. Fit out. Just be yourself. Show out. Just be yourself. And now I think Luke is on the verge of being so comfortable to where, because he's already a fan favorite. I mean, we so extra. We have no reason to dislike Luka, though. That's the thing. And we're familiar with his game. So we knew what we was getting over there. And so we automatically is just, you know, we gonna make him feel comfortable. I understand it got loud and they got to the chip, but Dallas doesn't hold a candle to postseason Laker ball. Nah, it's different. That sideline is going to look different. That's the thing. When you got them celebrities and them other athletes from different sports, all kinds of sports, and even other players that didn't make it to the postseason might be over there, you know? And the spotlight is on you. You are in a fishbowl. And he's built for it. I mean, he's been a professional since 15, 16 years old. So it was nothing new. He's prepared to play under pressure. And that's what we like the most, is to take some of that pressure off of Bron, which he has been doing in only 8 games. You know, we got a top 10 defense, somewhere around there, hovering around there. Our offense is still middle of the road. You know, I think we averaged somewhere around 112 points. That's crazy to be in the middle of the road offense and averaging that amount of points. That should let you know that debunks that whole defense shit. Even if you have some great defenders, the fact that the way the game is played now, I don't think we have much to worry about. I think in today's game, you do need a rim protector. That's it. And that's only to force niggas to shoot more. You know, so, you know, we don't necessarily have an elite rim protection anymore. And we sacrificed that to go get Luka, to have a crazy ass backcourt between Luka, Bron, and Reeves. And then we just need Rui to step up. But the most important thing, J-Bug, is that we got to stay healthy. In any sport, dog, you got to stay healthy. So I'm glad. Hey, shout out for the first timer, Jay Bizzle. Now her specialty is definitely WNBA and college basketball as well. And I just assumed that she was going to call in. And we still got time. So Jay Bizzle, I expect the next one to be more ladylike. You know, whether it's pros, but hey, this is the month of March, and you know what that is. But yet I feel good. I think if we are at least as a team anywhere between 85 to 90% healthy, we have a great chance. Now, that doesn't mean that it's a shoe-in for us to beat a team like OKC. And we know it's going to still be a dogfight with Denver. I think we could beat Denver. I think we have better chances of beating OKC than to beat Denver, but I feel confident in beating Denver. And I don't want to shit on the other teams. Like, if we do bump into Dallas in the playoffs, that is... It's primetime television right there, especially if AD is available. Kyrie, of course. That duo against this duo over here. So I like our chances. Jay Boogie, I'm sorry to say it like this, but I expect, especially considering the situation that we're in, under the circumstances that we're in, I have to push for a championship. There's nothing to build on. We brought Luka over here to get Bron over that edge, to give him an opportunity to not anchor the team as much. And Reeves, this is the number one reason why we did not give up Reeves and or Rui, is because they are a vital, very important piece to the organization overall. Rui playing some better defense. Reeves is just an offensive juggernaut. Cole, white boy, man, he's so solid. You know what I mean? And he needs that, because now the offense can easily go from Bron and Luka to Luka and Reeves. And that helps a lot. That helps a lot. So I don't speak much about the East Coast teams unless they have a threat over there. And I just honestly, Boston has phenomenal players. That's just it. I mean, shout out to Tatum, shout out to Brown. But it's like, man, I'm never going for Boston. I'll never give Boston the compliment outside of the individual players that we like. Outside of that, them niggas is trash. But I'm not afraid of them either. And it's a good storyline because of who they are, Boston Celtics. We're the Lakers' rivals. Not only that, it'll be Bron's first time playing as a Laker against our top rival in Boston. And it'll also be the rematch for Luka against Boston. So it's a lot that's riding into, it's a lot of storylines that you could build and chew off of when it comes to that. So who wouldn't want that? I mean, I know I would, selfishly, because I'm a Laker fan, but we're the only rivalry that actually means something when there's something on the line. You know, especially when it comes to the NBA. Outside of that, we don't, a lot of people, we didn't know, the cats is not tuning in for us to smack around the Clippers like we just did, you know. But that Boston and Lakers rivalry, man, pure gold. Shit on their part, but pure gold. I appreciate the question, J-Bug. Do not be a stranger. Head back over here with some more questions. And don't be afraid to share your sport as well. Your topics as well. Come on over. Hey, the gym. Oh, it's called Open Run with BTG. J-Bug, that's what it's called. The gym is open. Just, we got a couple of rules. 12 Cal knows this. King Germs, sometimes we get this. Dolomite knows. I got a lot of cats. Penrose super late. He actually got an old question that I'm gonna look for. That was pretty dope. I'm gonna bring that up. But don't wear any dress shoes on my floor. All basketball shoes. You might can get away with a couple of running shoes, but no. Open gym, please bring your hooping shoes. You know, outside of that, I don't really care about your attire. Whatever you can get buckets in, get buckets in it. But make sure them dogs you got on your feet, make sure they some basketball shoes. Now, this past weekend, man, it wasn't really promoted like that. And then you would definitely have to be one of those backpacker fans to know about this one a little bit. But for a lot of the casuals that didn't know, I mean, I seen an advertisement maybe about a week before the fight. Didn't give it too much traction, you know. And then I know it wasn't a lot of traction because nothing was floating around in the group chat till I threw something in there. And I'm not the one that usually posts first when it comes to boxing. But Tank had a fight against Lamont Roach. Cold last name, by the way. And I'm watching the fight. And the fight overall just remained to be close. And it was a couple of, they was tagging each other a little bit. But Lamont just showed some poise. And he didn't back down. And like a lot of fighters that Tank goes up against, Tank will find, you get anything past that seventh, eighth round, he's finding out. He finding out your weakness. And with Lamont, Lamont just went back down. He did. And I text the group chat. I said, there's something about this Lamont Roach cat, man. Because he's solid. He was talking reckless after the fight. It became a draw. Because I thought it was interesting. I was like, I told Marcy while I was watching the fight. She was like, who's up? And I'm like, Tank is up. But he only got him by two rounds. Like, that's it. You know, and he, the last two, I'm like, he got to win these two out. And he won one. You know what I mean? The other one, I guess that was debatable. But I know they called a draw. And I said it, though. And I didn't say it out loud. And I wanted to text it. But I'm like, man, something fishy about it. When I say fishy, I don't mean something was orchestrated or fixed or anything like that. Nothing like that. But I was, it's just... Tank did not dominate this fight at all. He didn't dominate this fight at all, and it showed. It showed, but we got a rematch coming. They're already talking greasy on the internet, on Twitter. They're going back and forth on Twitter, and just like his boxing game, his Twitter game is not bad. Lamont on there like, bro, stop capping, like you was really thought of this rematch like right then and there. Like, no, nigga, it's in your contract that if anything went left, you automatically get a rematch. He's putting that nigga on the spot. Like, bro, don't act like you just thought of this goddamn rematch after a couple of days ago or a couple of hours ago, nigga. It's automatically in your contract, nigga. If it's a draw or you lose, then we will get a Mando rematch. And it's going to be a good one. It's going to be a good one. They haven't announced it. As a matter of fact, before they announced the rematch, which technically they haven't announced the rematch. They just said, yeah, they want the rematch. But they did announce that there is an investigation on the fight. Now, who does that favor? I don't know, because they never said what the investigation was. I mean, we know what it's about. We just don't know if it's against or for each other, either one of the boxers. We don't know. Lamont is standing on, he felt like he won that fight. And for him to feel like that, and Tank is not even talking like that. He was saying shit that was like irrelevant. Like, man, I seen your dad hopping up and down in the corner and shit like that. And Lamont was like, bro, it's not even, he wasn't hopping up and down for what you was thinking. He was hopping up and down because I was fucking up. And I could have really ended the fight. Like, I could have been, I should have been winning. But I was making certain mistakes. That's why he was jumping up and down. So it's like Lamont Roach is on some comment. And I was just thinking, if he goes into, if they go into a rematch, you got to know that Lamont is trying to fix some shit right now. He has an opportunity of a lifetime to take down one of the greats. Tank is already one of the greats. He is. He is. And this is it, though. This is it right here. I'm down for these type of rematches. I am. I can't wait. Yeah, that's gonna be dope. We do got, like I said in the beginning of the show, Penrose had a question, random question to me and Murph in our group chat. He asks, J Kid was great as a conductor. Magic it was Showtime. That's what Murph said. So he said, yo, was Jason Kidd a better conductor on the court than Magic? And I said no. And I said one of the reasons why I said no is because Magic was 6'9". He that's what made him, that was his superpower in general. Not the fact that he was just a pure point guard. He can see the floor, but he can see the floor from, and he can see the floor differently than Jason Kidd. he can deliver the ball and he can get the rock there in places where Jason Kidd wouldn't be able to do so because of the height difference. You see what I'm saying? And as far as a conductor, I mean, I got to say, yeah, I think Jay Kidd was a pass first, shoot second. But I seen him more of an offensive threat. I seen him as a more offensive threat as Magic. The game is different. You know what I'm saying? And Jay Kidd, that's a tough one, man. That's a real tough one. But I still think Magic is the top conductor. I think he can run an offense the best way, and I think majority of his conducting was on a fast break. I don't think anybody can conduct a fast break like he can. Like once he, and the thing was, it's not just on Magic though. You got to give the players credit. You got to give the coach credit. You got to give the coach credit for actually having fast break plays. I know you like, I ain't never heard of fast break plays. Yeah, but you have heard of run the lane, fill the lane. And it's like they automatically knew how to run the floor on a fast break. That's where we got Showtime from. That was our bread and butter. You know what I mean? And Magic, there was no other person that can conduct a fast break like Magic Johnson. I'm sorry if that sounds like a homer, if that sounds biased, but it just so happened that the greatest point guard of all time played for my favorite team. And it is what it is. Now, J.K., I got J.K. top five point guard. He's somewhere up there. Like him, Gary Payton, there's another guard too. Like you could throw the Steve Nashes up in there as well. All of them in the same little boat, but one might be higher than the other. You know what I'm saying? So, yeah, J.K. there, though, for sure, for sure. You know, when I get even to my personal bag, I got point guards like Ry Strickland and Penny Hardaway. You know, and Penny Hardaway is one of those guards where if he didn't have any injuries like that, if he didn't have any career altering injuries, we talking about the second coming of Magic minus the Showtime, because his half court. Yeah, but his solid. You know what I'm saying? His fast breaks are solid, but his breaking down on that half court and finding niggas, and once he penetrates and gets to the rack, you don't know what he gonna do, because he can finish just as great as he could pass. And Shaq said that was the number one player that he liked playing with. It was the difference between playing with Penny and playing with Kobe. Although he won with Kobe, because Kobe was about that, he's about that shit. Penny Hardaway fed that nigga, kept him pampered. He said he would put the rock right there, didn't have to ask for it. You know, so it was one of those things. It was like, yo, hey. I gotta fuck with Penny. Penny was nice, man. Nice. His game was so crazy. Man, if I had to compare Penny Hardaway to a rapper, it might have to be Fabulous. Might have to be Fabulous. When Fab was like at his peak, like beautiful. Soul tape. Man, come on, bro. But yeah, to Penrose, man. Yeah, man, I gotta go with Magic.
Yo, so mark my words on this. I'm sitting here watching just watching shit about the draft, right? The NFL draft, and everybody thought that the Raiders, and I felt the same way, that because we won that fourth game, it put us out of contention for Shador, right? But Shador has has pretty much shown he wants to be a Raider. Excuse me, Jesus Christ. Man. The Titans got the number one pick. Them niggas either gonna take Mason Graham or Travis Hunter. They need a quarterback, but they talking about trading that first pick as well. Shador, they saying like Shador might, because we got the sixth pick. We not going to take Ashton Jeanty. We listen. And if they talking about Shador falling to the Jets at seven, man, we would definitely pick that. Mark my words that Shador Sanders would be a Raider. That's because you know your brother can be very long-winded. Shador Sanders would be a Raider.
I'm not.
Mark my motherfucking words.
Okay. I'm not opposed to it, but I'm not as hyped as I was before. I just saw his press the other day. of course he gonna have a mouthpiece on him. Pause. You know who his daddy is. So his daddy already got him prepared to talk to the media. And yes, every time we lost a game, we would go on Twitter and see Shador celebrate in the most encrypted way. I don't think he's the best quarterback in the draft. I wouldn't mind taking a phenomenal running back like that. But we do need a quarterback. That's the most important piece that we've needed for a while. And I've heard the name Sam Darnold be thrown out there. We definitely need a quarterback, and we need a young quarterback. We just seen what happens. It to me, we're in an era where your experience don't matter. Your experience don't matter like that. I mean, maybe it does to a certain degree, like how, the big games that you played in college. But Jaden Daniels is showing niggas like, yo, I'm out here. I'm out here. It's a lot of young quarterback. Bo Nix. Bo Nix is hella solid. And I hate Denver Broncos. I can't stand them niggas. You know what I'm saying? But they got a solid quarterback. The only thing that he can do at right now is regress. That's the only thing he can do. Because if he gets any better, man, Denver's going to be dangerous. They got to compliment him. This is not like the league where you can just end up losing a player. You know what I'm saying? Basketball, yeah, you can end up losing your star player. In football, no, man. He's prone to stay there for a long time, man. So we got to go out there and make the right decision. The draft will be coming up. Yep, the combine was just here. Combine just happened. I didn't watch zero of it. I saw some highlights. The highlights I seen was all offensive linemen and defensive linemen. Offensive line, I seen a nigga run a 4.8. Nigga, a 4.8 offensive lineman? That is so goddamn scary, bro. You got to be goddamn kidding me. But Titans going to trade that first pick. We'll see. I think the draft, the first 10 draft picks is going to be interesting. It's going to be interesting, those first 10 draft picks. So let's just stay tuned. Again, the perks, I would say the positive to drafting Shador is that, you know, Brady is in our building working with us, working for us. And he has, you know, personally worked out with Shador. You know, I'm not sure how often. I don't even know how long, but they have. And it's like, to me, if Brady pushes to go after him or any quarterback, it's hard for me to believe that he's not going to be in the mix as far as getting that guy ready to be a starter and to be all he can be. So, yeah, I mean, if we end up getting Shador, all right, man. All right, cool. Now you in the big boy league. And the media waiting on you, bro. You playing for a historic franchise, et cetera, et cetera. But it's got to happen. It's got to happen at the end of the day. Hey, look, I appreciate y'all sending in those questions. Shout out to Penrose. Shout out to Jay Bizzle. Y'all keep in touch. And I'll get back to y'all, man. What I want to say is I want to this last go around in the regular season in the NBA. I just want to keep a close eye on it because, like I said, OKC is up 10 games. Do I think the Lakers are catching? But no, but I think JJ is going to get that Coach of the Year award based off getting the second seed. Period. You know what I'm saying? For him to start from the bottom and climb all the way to second place after the All-Star game, All-Star weekend, that's very impressive. As a rookie coach, he is a rookie coach with the Lakers. He's coaching the Lakers into second place overall in the league. Well, definitely in the West. I should say that, in the West. That's pretty fucking impressive as a rookie head coach. Pretty impressive, Jay Bizzle. So, shout out, and I can't wait to be on your show. I'm putting a lot of pressure on you. I want to be on your show, too. Yeah. Oh, here's the other thing. This is what I wanted to talk about a little bit before I got up out of here. I sent this to 12 Cal earlier, and I ain't gonna lie, originally I felt some type of way about it, but I'm like, let's stop being fake. You know what I'm saying? I'm gonna stop being fake about it. Because I kind of understood it, but let's check this out right here.
Hooters made a lot of mistakes. I think first it was not paying attention to what different cultures like. And then if you weren't going to do that, the food had to be better. And then it was also not adjusting to culture and to the changes in what is become appealing from a woman's body standpoint. And I don't mean to objectify women. Maybe they get mad at me. But, I mean, don't folks like the joke all the time that black people like chicken wings and like chicken? So why you ain't got some people with booty in here? Because if you expecting the people who are supposedly supposed to love chicken wings to come in here, then you know we ain't tripping about no breasts anyway. Like, she need to have some lower half. Yeah, ass. Like I need some hips and some butt. Like I remember like it was yesterday the first time somebody brought me to Hooters. I was fired. I was a college student. I was like 20. Joey Messina, shout out to my dog. He's from Hammond. My roommate Fred Booker, him and Joey was tight. Joey came up, he was taking Fred to Hooters, so he took me to Hooters. I was like, what? You mean to tell me I'm finna get some wings? Ain't they gonna be in these little shorts? I went in, I was disappointed on both fronts. I just started eating the curly fries.
He right though. At first I was like, why are we pushing for them to, you know, to play on our stereotypes of chicken? And shit like that. But then I thought about it. Nigga, they gonna do it anyway. And we not the only ones that eat chicken, but they're right. Hooters was to promote chicks in short orange shorts and tight white shirts and walk around with titties. Only to find out. And again, there was probably some where they fit the description. But for the most part, I've been to Hooters a couple of times, and it was bad. It was bad because the draw of the attention is supposed to be some. I'm sorry to say, it's supposed to be some breasts, right? And it's like he's right. If you're going to stay afloat, which is not, because Hooters is shutting down, it's like why wouldn't you cater towards the right audience that's going to bring you that type of attention? He's totally right. I can't disagree with him. It's just like, I also feel like that's the wrong message too. But again, you know, back in the day, you wouldn't even hear me talk like that, which is crazy. But he's right though. You know, go get some girls with some hips, some thighs, and some luggage back there. And I guarantee you that revenue, it's all revenue. It's appealing. You're going to get more guys coming there. It's going to turn into one of the spots. The Hooters should have been. Hooters was supposed to be what Fridays end up being in the hood. It ended up being like a lounge adjacent. That's what Fridays turned into. I know because I would be at work. Why niggas would be at Fridays? And I done been to a couple of Fridays. You know what I'm saying? During that time, the nightlife, especially going to Fridays on a Friday night, you got it's former classmate type shit. You know what I'm saying? Or, you know, people that was in your age bracket that went to rival high school. Like, nigga, you gonna see, it's like the club. That's what Fridays was, and that's where Hooters was supposed to be. And they just dropped the ball. They didn't have the right people working for them. But a great episode, y'all. Great episode. 12 Cal did not make it. He did not make it. But he also said he didn't have any questions. So to in his defense, he didn't really have anything. Penrose didn't make the cut. But he's forgiven because he had a question from last week that I said, hey, we're going to put this on next week's episode. He did his thing. And then shout out to Jay. First time in the gym. Oh, don't make it the last time. But look, all the same rules. We're not giving no. Hey, Jay Boogie on the court straight to the post game. straight to a punishment out the gate. I love y'all, man. Open room with BTG. The gym is closed. Oh, the gym is closed after that post game.